Everyone have a sheet.
I said yes, an answer for you.
If you're a spare, pass them down so I keep them for the next class. Okay, girls, this is a natural follow-on from the last series of Shirim we did. We gave 3 Shirim on Tzniut, in which we talked about lots of key concepts. I'm going to refer back to some of them today, but not all of them, and some of them are a good base for what we're going to talk about today. Today's Shir is on Kitui Rosh, is on the halachic parameters of hair covering for married women. There's a lot to say about this. There's too much to say in one Shir, and this class is over at what time? 11:50? Yeah, 11:50. So we have 45 minutes, and we're going to need all of those 45 minutes. I really want to address 5 questions today, and again, you could talk a lot more about this. I'm teaching you again on Wednesday night, Be'ezat Hashem. We're going to talk about the issues of Shomer Negiah then, which is actually an easier topic than this topic, which is why I'm doing it in the evening when perhaps you're more tired and what have you. But today we're all awake and it's the morning and therefore we have to do with more complicated topics. I want to cover really 5 issues, not all of them in the same depth. First of all, the status of the halacha, where does it come from, this idea that married women have to cover their hair, why isn't it all women, what's Daf Moshe, what's Daf Yehudit, and we also talked about that last time, so I'm working on the basis that you remember some of what we did before. How much hair has to be covered, what are the halachas, okay, and where on the head, are there any kind of rules as to if there's any hair uncovered, where can that be, the front, the back, whatever, the sides. Which type of covering is acceptable? Are there any rules as to what you have to have on your head? What about wigs? Why would wigs be okay when they look like hair? What about a wig made from real human hair? What about a wig made from your own hair put back on your head? Okay, you can do that these days. Does that achieve anything? Is that just your hair on your head? Or is that different? We'll talk about that a little bit. Then the fourth, which is actually a very important point, which is in which locations must hair be covered and how much? And we'll see that there are 4 or 5 different scenarios. There's a very public scenario, there's a semi-public scenario, there's in your kind of house, but there's people there, there's in your house and there's no one there, with your family, on your own. We'll talk about that. And maybe we'll mention at the end the status of a kala at the wedding. That's an interesting question. The married woman, who doesn't necessarily have the same obligations of head covering and hair covering as other married women because she's a kala. We'll talk about who that is and how that works a little bit at the end. Okay, let's have a look at the Torah source. This we saw last time when we talked about Tzniut, which is a Gemara in Ketubot, it's based on the Pasuk in Bamidbar. Have a look at number 1. Vehemid ha-Kohen et ha-Isha. The Kohen has to stand the woman, the Soita, Lipnei Hashem, Ufara et Rosh ha-Isha. Ufara et Rosh ha-Isha. The word Fara is not absolutely clear. Rashi in different places says it means to uncover, to undo, to unbraid, so it's all loose and flowing, okay? He uncovers the hair of this woman, or he undoes the hair of this woman, in public, as a public indignity. We talked about that before. I'm not getting into again closer here. Oh, you made it in the end, you see? Where there's a will, there's a way. Okay, no problem. So they uncover her hair in public in a very undignified way. Rashi explains in number 2, we saw this before, but I'm going quite quickly on this. How do we know from this that you learn from this a mitzvah to cover hair? So Rashi says, it's obvious logic. He gives 2 logical reasons. Number 2. Mida avdinon hachi lenavla, from the fact that the Torah specifically says public indignity, public disgrace for this married woman is to have her hair uncovered, her head uncovered. Mida keneged mida, it's a whole mida keneged mida with a soita. Kemosha asta lehitnaot, like she did her hair beautifully to make herself lovely for the guy she had an affair with, or maybe had an affair with. Abol a michlal, that implies da'osa, that normally for dignified women in public, you have to have your hair covered. Straightforward logic. We take her hair off, or head covering off, to make her less dignified. So obviously dignified means to have the head covered in public. That's a dignified way for married women. Inami, alternatively, the Rashi gives a second chat, which is midichsiv upara, from the fact that she obviously has her hair covered, because he's uncovering it, so she's coming to the Beit HaMikdash with her hair covered. Midichsiv upara, michlal dahahu shaisa la parua. It seems clear that at the point where he takes her head covering off, it was covered before that. Okay? Shma mina, you learn from this. Ein derech not Yisrael, that the way of Jewish women, and we'll talk about whether it's married or not married, let's say peruat rosh v'chein ikka, that the way of Jewish women is not to go out with her hair uncovered, because the Kohen has to uncover her hair. One way or the other. Either because it's publicly dignified to have hair covered, or you're trying to open them or close them? Open more. Okay, I'm all in favor of oxygen, Mira, yes. If you can find No, it'll get warmer if you open the windows. It's 70 degrees outside. It's good. I think they're all open, though. Don't worry about it. You'll cool down. We can put the air on cold if you like, but everyone will then go nuts, right? Okay. You need to move around more. Go shopping. Okay. Listen, girls. From the fact that Rashi says, either because it's a public indignity to uncover a hair, we can still learn that it's a public dignity to cover the hair, or from the fact that he had to uncover it means the head was covered. Now, what's interesting from this is that the Gemara learns that from this, that there is a din, a halakha, and we'll see it's a halakha, min haTorah, according to almost all poskim, that married women have to cover their hair. Is it a mitzvah doraisa? No, it's not a mitzvah doraisa, meaning it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. But it's very common that the halacha, I remember having this conversation with someone even in this room or another room, I can't remember, no, it wasn't here. It's very common that the Torah actually learns out dinim, which are doraisa, from Sukkim, even though they're not counted as one of the 613 mitzvahs. What you count as the 613 mitzvahs is a very technical business. Many halachas didn't make it into the 613, but they're still halachas on a Torah level, and this is one example of them. So the Gemara picks up on this and talks about what exactly this means and where she has to cover, etc. But the first thing I want to say about this is it's clearly a pshat in dignity. It's dignified for a woman to cover her hair. That's the whole point. And it's not even hair, it's head. It's talking about her head, because she has a status. What's the status of a married woman? When you're single, you're single, you're a girl, you're a young girl. Who comes to you to ask your advice? Who comes to you for guidance? Once you get married, oh, you're an Ein B'Yisrael. You're a married woman. People come to you. You're married, you're experienced. You can help them, you can advise them, you can guide them. You'll see what happens. It's like magic. When you get married, all of a sudden people expect that you know what you're doing. Because you know that you don't know what you're doing. But they don't know that. So that's fine. Okay? Like being a teacher. You think, I know what I'm doing. No, I do, a little bit. Okay, fine. The point here is that the head covering, we have this for men as well. A man also has a din of covering his head when he gets married. They put the talus over the head when they're married, but not before they're married. Or they get the strimal to wear when they're married, but not before they're married. It's a status thing. You're a choshev person. It's a dignity thing. Which you'll see that obviously the din of the soter is not going to be fulfilled if you go out covering your hair, technically, but in a way that makes you look like a clown. Go outside with a black garbage bag on. You know, not one hair showing, but you're wearing a black garbage bag on your head. That's not called kisui rosh. That's called covering your hair. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about covering your head as a sign of dignity. The whole issue that the hair is an erva, we'll get to right at the very end. The idea that if a man's looking at your uncovered hair, there are certain halachas that he can and can't say brachas, that's a completely separate issue. The point here is not that you have to cover your hair because it's erva. You have to cover your head because you're a married woman, and it's choshev. And married women have a din in head covering because that's the dignified way to behave. And we learn that from the sofa, from the sota. And if you look at the number 4, you'll see how the Gemara learns it out directly. The Gemara says here, Ezu Dati Hudins. Because the Gemara there said, and the reason I didn't read you the whole thing is because we had it last time. The Gemara, if you remember, in Ksubah said that there are certain things if a woman does, she loses her ketubah. You remember this? You have a sheet? Some of the things that Dat Moshe, which are she breaks the Torah, she gives her husband food which is trade, or she doesn't go to the mikvah, or whatever it is, and some of them are dati hudit. What's dati hudit? So the Gemara says, Ezo dati hudit, and we didn't see this inside last time. Yotzah v'roisha parua. If she goes out with her head uncovered, okay, with her hair all, head all wild, that's dati hudit. So the Gemara objects to that, and says, really? Rosha parua d'oraita hi. Rosha parua d'oraita. D'oraita means, what does the writer mean? Min haTorah. How can you tell me that's dati hudit? Dati hudit is more of a minha custom. It's a rabbinic thing, dati hudit. You're telling me that head covering is dati hudit? It's not the writer. So the Gemara explains. Tanu Rebbe Rabbi Shmuel, Azhara libnot Yisrael. You're right. The sota is an azhara. An azhara means an isur doraita, a lav doraita. Shelo yatzu b'prua rosh, not to go out with a head uncovered. And the Gemara then explains. There is two levels, and this is where we have to start getting to understand. There's a Torah level, and then there's a Dati Hudit level. Deoraita, on a Torah level, kalta shapidami. A kalta is sufficient. Means if she were to go out in public, bashuk, if that's where the sota was, bashuk. Shuk means in the most public place. If she were to go out wearing a kalta, doraita, that would suffice. What's a kalta?
lots of different versions of understand what it was. Rashi says it's some kind of a basket on her head that kind of covers up her head a little bit. I mean, it covers her hair, but it's not really a proper head covering. Some say it covers the hair mostly, but not totally. Some say that it's like covers the hair completely, but it's like an under, it's like head underwear. Meaning a kalta was like a cap that the women wore under their hat just to hold their hair in, just to kind of take the, you know, to get the sweat off the head. But it doesn't look very nice. Meaning, one way or the other, it's not the way that you would normally go in a dignified way in public. But on a Doraita level, it's sufficient. It covers enough of her head to suffice the Doraita. Because don't forget, when the Kohen would uncover the woman's head, he'd have to uncover a certain amount for it to be uncovered. He didn't just go like that. He actually mamash uncovered her head and also her body. We saw that last time. So on a Torah level, if you're wearing this kalta in public, that works. But Dat Yehudit, but on a Dat Yehudit level, afilu kalta nami osa. It's not enough to wear a kalta. You have to wear something which fulfills the Dat Yehudit. So let's put this together, because it gets a bit complicated. Can I wrap this up? Aisha Kayo Miyimta. That is a great question. Okay. Here, public. Let's do this in English. Public. Okay. So kalta, okay, is okay, but need dat yehudit. Yehudit also. Meaning, a kalta will work on a min haTorah level, but you need a dat yehudit. How do you define dat yehudit? So this is what we learned in the last class. This is why it's good that you had that class. What is dat yehudit, tell me? What did I tell you last time?
Like minhag.
The minhag of?
The place.
The community, yeah. As to what? What is considered by them to be tsanua in a public place. Therefore, the dat yehudit as to what she has to wear on her head, the Gemara is not prepared to tell you. Why not? Because he goes according to the place, according to the time. And you know full well that there are certain things that you can have on your head which are appropriate for certain circumstances. What is the appropriate thing to have on your head when you're on the bus on the street? What is it when you're in a wedding? What is it when you're working in an office? Dat Yehudit will define what that is, how you're meant to put your, what you're meant to put on your head. And the Gemara doesn't specify. It just says you have to also, a kalta is not enough. You have to also have your Dat Yehudit. And that's where you get into a whole discussion, scarves, snoods, what else do people put on their heads? Shaitels to some degree, we'll see there's a question about shaitels because they're really hair, okay, or they look like hair. All of that's Dat Yehudit. So whether you go out in a snood, some women, you know, to wear a snood in the street, they consider it to be like almost undressed. In some communities, they walk out in a snood and they consider that's perfectly fine. It's like wearing a house coat on Shabbos. You know a house, you know the house coat things? In some communities, like you'd rather be dead than wear a house coat in the street. You know what I mean? It looks like you just got out of bed. In other communities, no, that's what the women wear on Shabbos. They wear a house coat. Okay, that's what that you did. So too, with what's on your head, it really depends on where you are, where you live. That's what you have. But you can't have just a kalta. That's minimal. My concept of what a kalta would be today is something like a hoodie. They still have those?
Yeah.
Meaning, something you just kind of throw over your head and run into the street. That's enough to basically cover your hair on a Doraita level, but that's not appropriate. That's not a dati hoodie. If you were dressed exactly like that, what's your name?
Esther.
Esther, come on, model it for us, Esther. No. Esther is a married woman walking into the street and she goes out like that. So for the shuk, says the Gemara, that's not enough. You have to also have something which is appropriate for a married woman to wear on her head, but on a derisive level, that would be, let's say, sufficient. So that's the shuk. And the Gemara now goes further. Okay? Third line. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kalta ein bo mishum pru rosh. Oh, but there's a question. Elsewhere, the Gemara says a kalta is enough. So where's that talking about? Haviva Rav Zera Hecha. Where's that talking about? Ilema b'shuk. Concentrate now. If it's in the shuk, we just said a kalta is not enough. That's your hooded he. You need a that's your hooded as well. Elaba chotzer. What about a chotzer now? What's a chotzer?
A courtyard.
A courtyard. What's a courtyard? Where is a courtyard? An entrance to, well, you said inside a person's house? Outside a person's house? Like a yard? Is a courtyard open to the public?
No.
No. But is it totally private?
No.
No. Okay? It's something near your house, in your house. People can't just walk in from the street, but there might be other people there. Maybe yes, maybe no. Family, that kind of thing. If you're telling me she needs to wear a kalsa every time she's in the chotzer, in case, as the Gemara loy hanachta batla havram avinu sheyoshevet tachat bala, you're never going to allow anyone to remain married because everyone's going to be divorcing their wives because which women wear a kalsa in the chotzer? The implication of the Gemara being in the chotzer, you don't even need a kalsa. What do you need? We'll see, if anything. So actually, no. Amar Abaya, v'itemar Rav Kahana, no. There's a middle. Michatzer lechatzer, when you're going from one courtyard to another courtyard, derech mavoi. What's a mavoi? It's an alleyway. Rashi says, deloshchichi rabim. There aren't that many people there. Fine. So the first level is public. The second level is a mavoi. A mavoi is semi-public, meaning the public have access. Think of, I don't know, what would it be like an alleyway between houses? Something like that? You have those where you come from?
Yeah.
Like a small area, small road which is off the highway, which is not that populated, but which people can walk down if they want to. There, it said, a kalta, okay, is okay. Is okay. Fine. Meaning, if Esther, is married, and let's say she wants to run out to just put the garbage in the garbage, or whatever. She's not going out in public. It may be that a lower level of head covering is sufficient. She has to cover her hair to a certain degree to do the doraisa, but she doesn't have to get all, you know, dressed up in a whatever scarf thing that she normally wears, because it's not completely public. So that's a semi-public area. But in the chatzer, which we said, chatzer is private, okay? But not totally. You with me? So there, we don't know what you need. There it said, it sounds like you don't even need a kalsa, but you need something. So far are we all clear? In a fully public area, there's a doraisa, you can't go out with your hair uncovered, they learn it out from the sefer, and you also have to have a dati hudit, which defines what kind of a head covering you wear. You have to look dignified, you have to look appropriate. In a mavui, which is semi-public, you have to wear something on your head. You can't have, like, so much hair showing that it's like a kalsa would be, like, it's less than a kalsa, but a kalsa or more is okay. And in a chatzer, in a private area, then it sounds like you don't even need a kalsa. We'll see what you do need. Yes? Makes no difference. None of this has got anything to do with Jews or non-Jews. That's a very good question, which is actually not such a good question, but I'm glad you asked it. It's a good question to ask. Because why would it make a difference to Jews or non-Jews? You tell me.
Because it's for you.
Right. Why would you think it might make a difference if it's Jews or non-Jews?
Because
if it's Erva, that's it. If it's Erva, and I'm worried about Jewish men seeing Erva, if it's non-Jewish men, there's no problem with Erva, right? They don't make brachas, they don't daven, they don't learn Torah, they have no dinim of Erva, but this has got nothing to do with Erva. It's to do with you. It's your dignity. It's you as a married woman. You have to sensitize yourself to these issues, so it makes a difference, absolutely no difference whether it's Jews or non-Jews. The shuk. Okay? Fine. Now, let's go weiter. A mavoi and a chadzeh. Look at number 6. I'm going to skip to number 6. Please go on. The Ritzva says an interesting thing. A chadzeh can be a mavoi and a mavoi can be a chadzeh. It's not a magic thing. It depends whether the public are there or not. Look at number 6. Amar Birushami, yesh chadzeh shehu kamavoi. There are some chadzeres that are like a mavoi. Let's say you're having a public street party and you open wide your doors and all the public are coming in and out of your yard. Okay. So that's a mavoi. That's a semi-public area now. The yesh mavoi shehu kachatzer, and there is a mavoi that you might close off and make private, and that's like a chatzer. Meaning, it's not magic. It depends on who's there. Mavoi she'ein harabim boikim ba. If there's a mavoi where the rabbin can't get in, you close it off. Dinah chachatzer. Then it has a din of a chatzer. V'chatzer she'harabim boikim ba. Dinah kamavoi. It's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. Meaning, there's no magic to being inside your chatzer. Let's say you open the doors of your chatzer and the whole world's coming through. Okay, so then that's like your mavoi. Not a chatzah anymore. Makes a lot of sense. What's the halacha? So the halacha is the following. Most of the Rishonim, pretty much all the Rishonim paskin, that the din of head covering and hair covering in the shuk is a doraita learned from the sota. Have a look, please, in number 7. The Rosh brings down appropriate name, huh? The Rosh for this year, don't you think? The Rosh, okay? Don't cover up the Rosh. Okay, that was a very poor rabbinic joke, okay? The Rosh, who was living Ashkenazi, Posig, living in the 13th century, he says, number 7, Rosha Parua Doraisahu, and he brings the Gemara there. But in the Chotzeh, it's okay. And if you look in the Hagos HaSheri, at the end, in the Rashi script, which is a commentary on the Rosh, it says, Hainu B'Rishut HaRabim. In a Rishut HaRabim, you have to cover your head. U'B'Chotzeh Loi Havi Afilu Dati Hudid, V'Afilu B'Loi Kalta. You don't even have to wear a Kalta. The question is, if you're in a Chotzeh, and there are other men there, do you still have to cover your hair at all? Meaning, it's not a public area. It's a private area. But you've invited other men into your private area.
If you invite them, yes.
So, right. So
or
if you...
if they just walk in, it's their issue.
Okay, so we'll see soon that if you're in a very private place, in your own house, in your own bedroom, and you're on your own, or if you're just with your close family, then we'll see that basically the halacha, there is no requirement to cover your hair. There is a minhag based on Kabbalah that the women used to cover the hair all the time. The whole kimchis thing, we'll talk about that properly. But la halacha la maisa, there is no halacha that you have to cover your hair if you're in your house on your own. That's even more private than a bayis, than a chaser. Let's talk about a bayis. Okay, by is totally private. Okay, no covering needed.
Do you like your children?
Yes. Rav Mordechai Wulig, who is one of the Rosh Hashivas in YU, paskens that a married woman has no halacha of kisui rosh in front of her children, okay, or in front of her father or grandfather. She doesn't have to. She may want to, meaning. When it comes to the totally private, we get back to the very first shir that I gave you. Remember that shir? The basic dinim of tznius are the dinim of hinani b'chadra chadarim. I'm in a room with nobody there. I'm in a totally private area. But I still have a mitzvah to be dignified. You may feel when you're married that you're not comfortable uncovering your hair in front of your father. Okay, that's fine. You may feel that it's not appropriate for you to come uncover your hair in front of your children. That's also fine. But I'm saying bottom line halacha in terms of just hilchas kisui rosh, leaving aside the extra tzniut angle, which we talked about last time, there is no requirement to cover your hair in front of your father. There is no according to Rav Mordechai Willig. I mean, I'm sure there are machmirim, but I'm giving you that psak. It's a reliable psak from YU. You're not required to do that. In front of your brother, he said, yes, there are grounds to be machmir, because a brother's a bit different. Because don't forget, you can hug and you can kiss your father and your son, etc. Brothers, you can also kiss, but it's a slightly different halacha. Okay, we'll talk about that Wednesday night. But he said, look, there's more room to be machmer on covering your hair in front of your brothers when you're married. But the bottom line halacha is still mutter. Okay? And that's not to say that you have to or you feel comfortable. And that's great. That's fine. But it's not osa. But once there are other men in the house who are not your immediate family... Okay, other women, it's fine. It's just a question then of your personal sniyot, which like I said before, let's say you're in the house with other women. Is it right for you to uncover your hair? So then, I'll say again, it depends on who you are, and it depends on who's with you. If you're 23 years old, and you're with all your friends, and they're also 22, 23 years old, and you want to take off your head covering with your girls in the house, then that's fine. Yeah, exactly. That's fine. If you're the Rebbetzin of the community and you walk in the house and there's a couple of other women in the house, you're going to rip off your head covering. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll obviously go more. They'll obviously. Why not? Nothing to do with kisui rosh. What's that to do with?
Taking
a sneer. The basic kisui in a private place. And you have to decide, you know, how that works, you know, in terms of you. Like we talked about last time. Yes.
Rabbi Mordechai
Willig. But Mordechai Willig, he's not a big makel, he's not a big lenient person, he's a well-known posek in YU, one of the senior Rosh Hashivas there, etc. Most poskim, kimat all poskim, will say that it is inappropriate to have your hair uncovered in front of other men, even in your house, even in the chotzer, okay? It's inappropriate. Even though it's not technically an issa, a d'oraisa of kisui rosh, the Meiri calls it the dava maguna, it's not appropriate, because it's clearly a little bit kind of... And there comes a point when your house kind of becomes public, like we saw before. If you're inviting the whole world into your house, then clearly you have a mitzvah of kisui rosh. Yes?
If this is purely for us, like, as a status symbol, then why is it still such a huge...
It's a din d'oraisa. It's not just a status symbol. It's a din d'oraisa. You also must keep kosher. You know, that's also a huge thing, no?
But it's not the reason for it. The charge is to give reasons for it, because then we'll have a whole
argument about the reasons.
If
yeah.
If we have a reason for it that it's keeping us dignified, then
Okay, that's part of the reason. Meaning, there's an underlying rationale to it, but it's also a din. It's also a din brought down by the poskim that there's a din of kisui rosh. Meaning you can give the reasons. It's like kashrus. You can give lots of reasons for kashrus as well. You can give reasons for Shabbos. You can give reasons for all sorts of things. And the reasons may be appropriate. And I'm trying to sensitize you to the reason so that you don't just keep the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. Meaning, if you... Let me give you an example to what I'm thinking. There are women out there who will wear a shekel on the beach and a swimsuit in front of a bunch of other men. Because they think... You know who I'm talking about. There's a certain type. Because they've understood that head covering is like a din of head covering. And there's like magic din. And they've forgotten the whole dignity sneers angle completely. I'm not telling you that it's not a din. It is a din, but I'm telling you that there's a din with an underlying rationale, that so you get a sensitized to it, and you look in the mirror and you can say, okay, I'm covering my hair, but am I covering my head? Maybe you are, maybe you're not. So you have to think about that. But everyone agrees that it's a din as well, and therefore there's a married woman, din for a married woman in the shuk. If you're not in the shuk, okay, then you can have this whole discussion. But if you're in the shuk, meaning in public, there is a din, and everyone agrees on that. I brought you a bunch of other things. I brought you the Rambam. Let's go on to the next, and the Mishnah Berurah. Look in the Mishnah Berurah number 11. Shishrichu lechsoit hasarot mitzad hadin. Oh, just like I was saying, the Mishnah Berurah says there's a din to cover your hair. V'yesh b'zeh isa Torah. There's an isa Torah. Kidichsev, as it says, ufares rosh ha'isha, michlal shehi mechuseh. V'gam kol b'not Yisrael, and we're going to talk about unmarried women now, hamachazikot b'dat Moshe, who want to keep the Torah properly, nizharot mizeh, are careful about this, miyamot avotenu, from the original days, me'olam, ba'ad ata. Even today, where most married women in the non-Jewish world do not cover their hair anymore, and they used to, by the way, up until 150 years ago, So married women don't cover their hair out there. Okay, so while married women don't cover all sorts of stuff out there as well, if there's a din, there's a din, and a Jewish woman who's married has to cover her hair. Now, interestingly, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't bring it as married, they bring it as all women. Okay, number 12. Lo tichle benot Yisrael peruas rosh b'shuk. So, the woman shouldn't go out and peru a rosh, the shuk. Achat pnuya, whether they are unmarried, v'achat eshedish, or whether they are married. Oh, so the Mefarshim and the Shulchan Aruch learn in number 13, what does it mean, Pnuya? Hainu almana, that means a widow, or grushan, or a divorcee, aval betula, mutar. And that is how the poskim all rule. That unmarried women who have never been married do not have any din of head covering in the street, but unmarried women who used to be married do. Now, I'll say two things on that. Meaning, if a woman is a divorcee, she got divorced, or she is, God forbid, a widow, so she still has a din of Kisui Rosh, says the Shulchan Aruch. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, I want to make two points on this. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, I brought you number 14, rules that actually that din is no longer a din d'oraita, because she's no longer has a husband, because she's not like a soita. It's learned from the soita, and the soita by definition has a husband. If the soita has no husband, she's not a soita. And therefore, once the woman is no longer actively married, she used to be married, it's not a din d'oraita, it's a din d'rabbanan, for dativhudit only. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, under certain circumstances, she will be allowed to remove it. For example, he has a tshuva here of a girl who's trying to find a shidduch, and she's finding it difficult, with walking around with a snood on, to get guys to go out with her. Which you understand. He says, I understand that. Because the guys want to go out with a girl who's like single, maybe. And she is single, but she's like looks like a married lady. So Rav Moshe gave her a heter to take her snood off, etc., to find a shidduch. Not everybody agrees with that. But again, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a very serious posek, senior posek of the last generation. And therefore, what's that? Well, the Vilna Gaon seems to say that there's still a din d'oraita for an unmarried, for a widow or a divorcee to cover her hair as well. Look, it may depend on who you are as well. There's a difference between, let's say, a difference between a girl who's 22 years old and she got married, and she was married for 2 weeks. I had a case like this once. The girl was married for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. The whole thing was a disaster. God forbid, after the Sheva Brochas, it was clear they'd all made an awful, awful mistake, and she separated and she got divorced. Okay? You're going to ask me whether she should cover her hair after she's divorced. And that, between that and a woman, let's say, who's been married 50 years, she's 75 years old, her husband dies, you're going to tell me that she should uncover her hair? You can see the difference between those two cases, right? Mm-hmm. One's basically a young girl, still, and one's clearly still a married woman. It's just they technically neither of them have husbands. But again, that's why you have to understand there's a difference between these two cases. But that emotion comes in there, but non-married women do not have a din of Kisui Rosh. However, there is a minhag, a dati hudit in sense of tzniut, not in sense of Kisui Rosh, especially in Mesh Sha'arim and places like that the unmarried women don't walk out the Peru Rosh, meaning they have their hair braided. That's why the girls in Mesh Sha'arim Geula, they have their hair braided. Based on this Shulchan Aruch, which says that all women walk around without their hair wild, so they don't have to cover it, but they say that minhag is to braid it, and they wouldn't walk around with their hair all flowy. But that's a local minhag, and there's no halacha that you have to have your hair, you know, closed up when you're not married, because unless that's your minhag, that's not your minhag. Now, let's go on. 15 minutes to go. How much hair must be covered? Are you with us?
Susie? Yes.
Excellent. You have to stay with us. Susie, right?
Yes.
Stay with us, Susie. Okay? How much hair must be covered? So there's an interesting Rashba. Look at number Rashba. Look at number 15 in the Rashba. Aval pnuya, panel, her face. Yada, her hands, v'ragla, and her feet, v'kol dibura, and a normal speaking voice, which don't obviously have to be covered up in any way. She'ena zama, she's not singing. V'sa'ara, and also her hair, michutz letzmata, outside her smata. What's a tzama? Like her plaits, her braids, the hair that comes out from her covering and so on. She'ena mitkate, which can't be covered. That's normally shown, that's normally out, and therefore that's not called somewhere that's normally covered. The Rashba, talks here about hair that comes out of the covering. What is that hair, and how much of that hair is there? Meaning, it seems that there was always, or at least the Rishonim record, that there, even married women sometimes have some hair showing at the sides or somewhere. The question is, where is that? Now, the Zohar is extremely negative about women having any hair showing at all. Even in the house, which we'll get to soon, okay? But the Zohar is extremely negative. It says all sorts of things about women. They bring bad things on their children, and they bring like bad things to the world if their hairs are even a single hair uncovered. And there were many people that passed them like that. Look in number 17 and 18. There's two famous pieces, the Magen Avraham and the Chasam Sofer. The Magen Avraham, who's writing in Europe in the 1600s, it says, Aval b'Zohar, he quotes a Zohar, Parshas Nasai, okay? Hichmir ma'oid is extremely strict. Shelo yirushum sa'ar mi'isha, not so that not one hair is showing. V'chein roi linhog, and I think that's the right way to behave. So the Magen Avraham paskens that not one hair should be showing, ideally. The Chasam Sofer, who's living in Presburg, about 100 years after the Magen Avraham, brings that down, and he says, by the way, in his community, the women have the minhag to shave off their hair. Okay? Which is a minhag that today's poskim frown on for most women, because it's very stressful, distressing even, for women to shave off their hair in today's society. So other than women who have a very clear masorah and a minhag to shave off their hair, then this is considered to be an inappropriate thing to do today, pretty much across the board. And even in a place where they do have a minhag to shave off their hair, if the wife refuses to shave off her hair, that's not something necessarily that she, the husband can force her to do. That's a whole different question. Yes?
The whole thing comes from the Crusades. It's originally not a minhag.
Okay, but you know, originally not it was a minhag, because originally no one did anything.
What happened is that the Crusades used to come around and
rape the women.
So the men told their wives, so the men don't want you, because the woman's most beautiful after you, whatever, is her hair. So she.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
They shaved their hair off, and they. When the men came around, they took the hair off and scared the men away. It's recorded and it's known.
Okay, lots of things are recorded and known, and they're not all right. Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you, Esther. I'm not disagreeing with you. I see you subliminally took your hair off.
No, sorry.
It's fine. You're not married. It's really fine. I assume. No, you never know. You may be right, Esther. You may be wrong. The Zohar.
I come from a family that does it. I know it, and that's why they do it.
Okay, but the Zohar is still there. And you can have a whole discussion about like what date the Zohar has. But the Zohar is pre-Crusades, and the Zohar talks about not having women showing any hair at all. And Kimchis, okay, you're right. Good.
There's two different things.
Good.
I agree.
You're right. You're 100%. I agree with you. My comparison was not correct. You may be correct. Let's say you are correct. So it's still a minhag. And some women have it, and I doubt very much whether any single person in this room will have it or should have it. Okay? But nevertheless, the Chasam Sofer holds that even if you do have hair, it shouldn't be showing in the house. And a number of people always paskim like that. However, Rav Moshe, I want to show you Rav Moshe Feinstein again in number 19. He says the following. Look in number 19. Lechem, Ledina, Av Shemina Roy Shiachmiru Hanashim. This is an important Rav Moshe. Even though I think it's appropriate that women should be machmir, Lachsod Kedesoiva HaChasam Sofer, to cover their hair like the Chasam Sofer says, certainly in public, okay? Since it came out from such a great Gaon as the Chasam Sofer, then you have to take it seriously. Aval Pashut, he said, I agree, it's completely straightforward. She'elo harotza lahakel, those women who want to be lenient and not have every hair showing. You can't consider them to be acting inappropriately. Even a Talmid Chacham and Yerushamayim should not for one second not marry such a woman. As long as she's obviously an appropriate woman, as long as she has nice midot. Aval hu rak erech bet etzba'ot begova shehapanim v'hu erech orech get bet tefachim. It's only two fingers across the two tefachim, meaning he has this din of a tefach. And Rav Moshe really comes onto this din of tefach from the whole sota. He says the following. We don't know how much hair the Kohen uncovered on the sota. We really don't know how much. Presumably he uncovered a fair bit of hair. Therefore there comes a point when uncovering your hair is going against the din d'oraita. We don't know exactly how much that is. But we see, he says, the din of a tefach coming in other areas of covering. And he brings the example, there's a long tshuva. So he says, therefore, the din of tefach should apply to this as well. And therefore he has this halacha, that he says that unless there's a dati who did to the contrary, meaning, obviously he says, if you want to cover all your hair, it's a good thing to do, and the Chasam Sofer said to do so, and obviously you have a minig to do so, you can't go against your minig. But if you don't have a minig, and then you want to be lenient, and he says, and you can't criticize a woman who wants to be lenient, so you're allowed to have a tefach of hair showing. He says it's two fingers across the head, like this, because your head's about two tzvachim, two etzba'ot across two tzvachim, makes one square tefach, so he says that's the origin of the minag that people have, the women have, that they have a little bit of hair showing on the head. Fine. So he says, any more than that, he considers to be asur. But that much, he says, is mutar. But of course, he's not telling you you should. He's telling you you can, if your minag says it's appropriate. Therefore, women who have a little bit of hair showing, you cannot turn around and say to them, they have no one on whom to rely. They certainly have Rav Moshe on whom to rely. They do not have to go like the Zohar and the Chasam Sofer. Yes?
Okay, if it's hair showing, does the hair have to be under the, like that full bag, or could it be out?
So that's a question of dati hudit. Again, that's a question of minag, what is considered to be tanua, but it can be just like showing. You mean you want to have a little bit of thingy?
Yeah.
It's hard to say that will be osir according to Rav Moshe, like, because it's less than a tefach. If it's less than a tefach and it's not covered, then he said it's fine. But again, that's going to depend on your local community as to what is and what isn't. As I said before, out in the shuk, it's a lot of dati hudit. There's a lot of dati hudit going on, and it may be that the women in your community feel that this is not good. In which case, they can make their own dati hudit. Fine, you can't argue with that. But in principle, I'm not sure you could say objectively that there was a problem with that. Also, it's not absolutely, obviously, you have to learn this din of Rav Moshe, that it's a tefach. For example, there are women, I know, who have asked shyness. The problem with this is as follows. A lot of women who just do what they do, because they couldn't care less. We know this. The men do that as well, obviously, in other areas. But there are women who don't cover their hair properly, not because they've asked shilas, but because they just do what they want. You can't really take from that and say, well, that's the halacha. Obviously not. But there are women I know who ask shilas, for example, in the where I come from, in Alon Schwartz, where I live now. There are women who don't cover their hair, who are meant to cover their hair, and they're just not doing it right. There are women who don't cover their hair properly, like in all sorts of places, in America for sure. But there are women who are very mindful to ask shilas, who have like a little hair coming out of the back. Yeah? At the back of their sort of a hat thing. So they basically are getting a psak, which is that there's a tefach over here, or even a little bit more than a tefach, that's not going according to Rav Moshe. And the best I can say to you is that if you're asking shilas from a Talmud Chacham, okay, a senior posek, and he's saying that this is mutzer and according to the halacha, then you can't do better than that. As long as you're asking shilas, that's fine. If you're doing what you feel like and not asking shilas, then how can that be legit? That can't be legit in any area of halacha, certainly not in this area. So there are different minhagim of exactly how much hair can be showing, even in public, certainly the tefach according to Rav Moshe, and maybe even other parts of the hair, depending on which other way you're learning it. In private, we talked about, largely, at the end of the day, I mean, they bring down kimchis, the Darkly Broker brings back kimchis. Rav Moshe turns around and says, hardly anyone's ever been a kimchis. Kimchis, the woman who never uncovered her hair even in private. Remember we talked about that? Rav Moshe says that, you know something, kimchis is very nice, but we've never heard of this. We've never heard of women who don't uncover their hair in private. And therefore, Rav Moshe says very clearly, looking number 24 for a second, Gam mashe hichme achas m'sofa la'aso midat yehudit afilu b'chadra. The fact that there are women, based on the Chasam Sofer, that are told they shouldn't uncover their hair even in private, velomit pachat, without any, you know, you shouldn't have the hair uncovered without something on the head, v'hevi zemi habach, hini bebach ite b'chatzra, he's talking about a chatzer. He says, you can't, in a chatzer, okay, there are people there, you have to have your hair covered if there are people there. B'chol adibashol ashe, hu makom parutz, it's open to some degree, v'ein derech litol rishut likanes. people don't always ask permission, they walk in. V'gam matzu sham anshei beita, and there are other men around. V'lechein ma she'asa achas m'sefer b'chedra lo matzinu. He said, we never heard of this in the cheder. Meaning in your bedroom, in your room, in your front room, to cover your hair. He said, we never heard of this. Ah, kimchis? Who's a kimchis, he says. Even in the time of the Tanaim, in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, kimchis was one in 10,000. Okay? So he says, basically, the bottom line halacha is that women do not need to cover their hair in the house, in front of their immediate family. If there are other men there, then it's appropriate to. And once they're into semi-public or public areas, then they absolutely have to. But I hope that's clear, in terms of inside and outside. There's two more topics I want to deal with in the last 10 minutes, 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes, 3 minutes. One is wigs. Wigs is a whole big topic. I brought you three tshuvas, or three statements. One is from the Rabbi Yosef, one is from Rabbi Moshe, and one is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay? Why did I bring these? Because they reflect the three basic views. Rabbi Vadi Yosef, I'm not going to read through the whole tshuva now, but I brought it because you can learn it at some stage with other people. It's very interesting. Rabbi Vadi Yosef holds the following. Wigs are hair. Having hair on your hair is not called covering your hair. Okay? And therefore, he is very, very unhappy about wigs as hair covering. He says there's maris ayin. People have no clue that you're even covering your hair. And he says, you know, the fact that other people wear wigs is no excuse. And he's basically very down on it. That is true also, not just in the Sephardi world, Rabbi Vadi Yosef, but also in the Ashkenazi world, Rabbi Eliashiv, the senior poskim in Yerushalayim, were very, very negative about women wearing shekels.
Then why is it?
What's that? In many areas of the Yerushalmi Haredi community, Ashkenazi, and certainly Sephardi, the women will not wear shekels. So in my building in Haranoff when we lived here, the many of the women who were Litvish, Yerushalmi, Haredi would not under any circumstances wear shekels. They only wore scarves and snoods and this and that because Rabbi Vadia and many of the Ashkenazi poskim say that it's not acceptable. Yeah, that's one thing. Oh, no, if you have a shot, if you have your hat on top, so maybe that's different, okay? That's maybe because then already there's no maris ayin, and you can see like the Haredi, like the B'nai Brak kind of little pillbox hat things. Rav Moshe Feinstein in number 26 takes a middle ground. He says, look, there's no maris ayin because, you know, if you get close enough, you can see it's a wig. By the way, that's not always so posh at these days. I mean, back in the day, I've got photos of my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents wearing shekels. They look like birds' nests. They look like someone's plopped like twigs on top of their heads. I'm telling you. This was in Russia. It's the picture of my great-great-grandmother. Are you insulting English shakers?
No, I have English background. My grandmother wears
my great-great-grandmother's wig in Russia. I would have brought a picture in, but it would have been not nice for my great-great-grandmother. I thought it was not appropriate. But like, there is no maris ayin there. Nobody's hair in the world ever looked like that. Okay? Today, as you know, shekels are, you know, look more beautiful than most people's hair. Rav Moshe says, look, there's no maris ayin, you can't aser it. Maybe it's like, look at the end. He said, Ulechein, the last line of number 26, after the full stop. Lidina, according to the basic halacha, ein yochel limchois b'yad ishtoi, a person cannot criticize his wife, harabanit. He's talking about, he's writing to a man whose wife wears a shekel and he's not happy about it. You can't stop your wife wearing a shekel. It's not osa, even though maybe it's not perfect, it's not osa. So Rav Moshe says it's not osa, and therefore, what's that? Yes, Rabbi Feinstein did wear a shekel, as far as I'm aware. Actually, I'm saying that. I think she wore a shekel. Rabbi Feinstein, yeah? The shekels, I think they're shekel people. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, go over the page. If you want to play ball, maybe later on's better. 5 minutes, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe actually is completely opposite. He holds that today in the modern world, he's living obviously in the 20th century, it's better to wear a shekel. He says because it's much less likely you'll take it off. He said if a woman's wearing a snood and she gets embarrassed that she's in a situation like in the office or whatever and she has to go in a meeting, it's just easy to whip it off and she might uncover her hair. He actually holds that it's much better for women's self-esteem. It's much more relaxed, if you like, to wear a shekel, and therefore he holds that lechatchila women should wear shekels in America. He's not talking about in Israel or in the Middle East. But in, and he's not talking about the Sephardi women, although many Sephardi women do wear shekels because there are other Sephardi poskim that hold not like Rav Avi Yosef. Okay? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe held the Chatchila, it's better to wear a shekel, and therefore, at the end of the day, all of these positions are legitimate positions. When you get married, quite frankly, if you decide to cover your hair with some kind of shekel, and by the way, according to the people who hold you can wear a shekel, there are loads of different opinions as to whether maybe real hair is okay, maybe even your hair is okay. You know, there are many opinions on this, and therefore you just have to ask the posik that you trust, that understands you, that you're connected with. You have to find yourself someone that you can bounce these things off, and you'll, you know, at the end of the day, all these positions are legitimate. Yes.
I know someone who
just
wear a whole hat and the hair coming out.
Their hair or a weak hair?
Their hair, like a plug.
Okay, so that gets to the question that was said before of the tefach and how much, etc. You have
Does
to ask yourself.
Does that mean the head, though?
What's that?
Is the tefach the head?
Oh, you mean can you have hair coming underneath?
Yeah.
Good. So, if a tefach of hair coming out, which is not on the hairline, which is our own hair coming down, most poskim say that in the shuk that is not acceptable. Okay?
Have your hair hanging out.
Meaning having your hair hanging out of the back. And the question is whether she's asked the Shaila about this, or she's just said, you know, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do.
She said she considers it covering, because it like, covers her whole head, but her...
Okay, so again, good. She considers it. The question is, and then there's the Erev angle, which is a separate angle, which is the last thing on the sheet, which is, but that's a men's angle, which is really a separate thing. I wonder, I don't know this lady, and I'm sure she's a wonderful person, whether she's specifically asked a Shaila about this, and be given a fact that this is acceptable, or whether she's just said, I feel this. I respect her feelings, but that doesn't create a halachic psak.
There's a bigger idea, like, a lot of people have said that if you start covering hair and you uncover it, it's a much bigger deal than not covering it at all.
That's not true. Not covering or uncovering and uncovering. You mean, it's like, so let me ask you a question. No, I don't go for that. Let me ask you a question. If you don't keep kosher, or if you did keep kosher and you stopped keeping kosher, is there a difference?
No.
Not really. Meaning, if you're eating pork, you're eating
pork.
It's
not ideal to start one,
sorry. Of course it's not ideal to stop, but it's not ideal to not start either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to be asking poskim. The last thing I just want to mention is the issue of a kala. A kala is very interesting, because a kala, says the Mishnah, specifically can go out with her hair uncovered. And there are a few different versions and opinions on this. Some people say the kala should cover her hair before the chuppah, so that as soon as she's an eshet ish, she has her hair covered. But according to the classic Ashkenazi minag, the kala is a special exceptional case. She has the din of a married woman who does not have to cover her hair all the time that she's in her kala state, meaning in her wedding dress, at the chuppah, at the dinner. The next morning when she goes to bed, she wakes up the next morning, she wants to go out back into the world as a married woman. So then the normal denim of an Aisha dish kick in. You're asking because they haven't had beer, they haven't had relations.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that may be part of it, but that may not be part of it. Meaning a married woman still has a din. Let's say whatever reason they didn't have marital relations that night, or even the next night, or even the next week or month. The guy broke his leg, he was in hospital, he was marooned in Alaska, and she's stuck in London. Does that mean she doesn't have to cover her hair the whole time? No, she still has to cover her hair. She's an Ashish. There's just that there's part of the marriage that hasn't yet been completed. Fine. But the Kala has a special din all the time at a chuppah. She doesn't have to cover her hair. As long as she's dressed like a Kala. And however you go when you're Kalas, then you'll have to decide. You'll have to ask a Shaila on that basis. So I think we've covered all the basic points. But again, I just want to summarize. Understand the different areas. The Shuk, the Mavoi, the Chotzer, the Bayit. Okay, understand how Dasi Hoodie kicks in. Understand how different hair coverings are. A lot of it is minhag in terms of what you wear on your head. Understand on the shaitel issue, it's like it goes in all sorts of directions, and you ask your poetic and you take yourself. Understand that inside the house, the normative position is you do not need to cover your hair. But if you want to be a kimchis, then you better be a kimchis. But you better really be a kimchis. Don't be a pretend kimchis. A fake kimchis is worse than no kimchis, I suspect. Because then you're only deluding yourself, and then you'll end up wearing a shekel and a swimsuit, which is not the right thing to do. Okay? But all in all, at the end of the day, I think the most important thing I want to leave you with is, oh, there's a good book, by the way, I picked up on the internet. It's an old book, Hide and Seek. You ever come across it? It's a nice book, because hair covering, let me leave you with this last idea. Hair covering is not just a halachic issue. It's a very personal self-definition issue for women. I can't understand this because I'm a man. It's different. Therefore, you need to speak to other women and bounce into some other women, people that you respect, people that you look up to help you to understand how this halacha works in practice. socially and personally. And this book is essays by about 50 different women on their experiences of hair covering, etc. It's a nice book to read. It's an interesting book to read about all sorts of women from all sorts of backgrounds. Some women who do cover their hair, some women who don't cover their hair, all sorts of things. And you should certainly speak to other people about it. Hopefully you are more educated than you were when you came in. Thank you very much. On Wednesday evening, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will speak about Shemen Igiyah, which is a bit more juicy and actually more straightforward.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Get a sheet. That's actually exactly what I need to know.
Good.